Let's look tonight in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 13 through verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Tonight, in looking at these verses, I'm going to divide the message into three parts, three divisions. Other than faith, and that is the most important thread that runs all through these verses, we see also that death is mentioned in each one of them. In the first division, it is that they all died in faith, verses 13 through 16. In the second division, it is that Abraham offered up his son, Isaac. And this we see in verses 17 through 19. And then the third division, the actions of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph when facing death, verses 20 through 22. So first of all, these all died in faith. These all died in faith. Now, that word these could refer to everyone who has been mentioned up to this point except Enoch, because beginning with Abel and Noah and everyone that's been mentioned up to this point died, and they all died in faith. Death is the end of physical life for both believers and unbelievers in this world. However, I believe the word these all died in faith. These specifically refer to those just mentioned, that is Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob. Because these all had the promises. Those before had the promise of the seed of the woman who would crush the head, who would destroy the works of the devil. But these had the promises, plural. They had the promises which consisted of these three things. They were promised the land of Canaan. They were promised the land of Canaan, a land which was flowing with milk and honey. Number two, they were promised a posterity without number as the stars in the heavens. And number three, they were promised a seed in which all the families of the earth would be blessed. I want us to look at a few of these if you turn back with me to the book of Genesis. First, in chapter 12. Chapter 12, we will read the first three verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Then in the next chapter, chapter 13, beginning in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look toward the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And then, if you will, in chapter 26 of Genesis, and this is to Isaac, Genesis chapter 26, verse 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And then in chapter 28, and this is to Jacob, chapter 28 and verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee. All of these promises, they were threefold. First, the land of Canaan. Second, a posterity without number. And third, the seed in which all the families of the earth should be blessed. Now, all of these promises, these three promises, they were all fulfilled years after these three men and Sarah, after Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, after they had all died. The nation of Israel came out of Egypt, a mighty nation, and they did possess the land of Canaan. Then, in the fullness of the time, the seed in whom all the families of the earth should be blessed, we know God sent forth His Son. As you read these verses here in our text, here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that they knew, these patriarchs as they are called, they knew and they believed that the promises would be fulfilled, and yes, they had a spiritual fulfillment. Not just a physical, but also a spiritual fulfillment. These, the writer tells us, by faith, they saw. They saw that there would be a spiritual fulfillment of the promises, and by faith, they embraced them. The spiritual fulfillment of them meant, number one, a better country. They were promised the land of Canaan, but they could see there was a spiritual fulfillment in that promise, and it was not the land of Canaan, but a better country, that country that you and I refer to as heaven. Number two, the spiritual descendants. Yes, they had natural descendants, which were many, but the spiritual descendants they could see also was involved in this promise to be as many as the stars in the heavens. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, the apostle says, "Know you therefore that they which are of faith." And remember, every child of God is of faith. Everyone who is saved by the grace of God believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the apostle says, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You are a child of Abraham. If you know Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of Abraham. You are part of spiritual Israel. All of God's family are part of spiritual Israel. And number three, knowing God. Knowing God through the promised seed in whom all the families of the earth were blessed. They could see there was a spiritual fulfillment in these promises. Yes, there was a physical fulfillment. The land, the number of descendants. But there was a spiritual fulfillment. A better country. And many more children of faith. Children of Abraham. And the seed who was promised in whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ told some unbelieving Jews one day, "Abraham saw my day." When did Abraham see his day? You know, there's several events in the life of Abraham. You have to think, well, that's when he saw the Lord's day and rejoiced. But we don't know for sure, but we'll come to one in just a moment when he saw that ram caught in the bushes. Surely that was one of the times when Abraham saw Christ's day and rejoiced. The word here in the text, which is translated embraced, if you look back in our text, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them." That word embrace means to salute, to greet. That is, by faith, they welcomed the promises. They embraced in their heart. They embraced with their heart, I should say, these promises. In the Bible, the heart is more than just the emotions. When the scriptures speak about a new heart, we know the heart includes three things. It includes the mind, it includes the emotions, and it includes the will. They embraced these promises, not just with their minds. You know, many people learn doctrine and they recite doctrine, and they believe doctrine, and that's good, and that's where it begins, but they don't embrace. They don't salute the truth. It doesn't mean that much to them. They can take it or leave it. It's not that important. But God's people, and these were God's people, they saluted the promise. They embraced the promises. They wrapped their arms of faith around the promises, and their lives were changed. Their lives were changed. They were able to confess. The fact that they embraced the promises was evidenced by their confession and by their conduct. Now, we see two vivid pictures of this as it is recorded about Abraham. It says they confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers. How did he confess that he was a stranger? Well, one way, when he came back from the war in which he went to rescue his nephew Lot, you remember they had the spoils of war. Those were his. That was just the way it was. Those were his. And that king of Sodom said, "Just give me the people, if you will, and you take the spoils of war." And what did Abraham say? "Oh, no. Oh, no." He's confessing, "I'm a stranger. in this world. It's not going to be said of me that you made me rich. The things of this world he confessed to be a stranger by giving that back to the king and saying it's the Lord who will take care of me, who will meet my needs. And he confessed also to being a pilgrim in this conduct when he and Lot, his nephew, they had a lot of animals, large herds, and before long the pasture wasn't enough to support them. And the herdsmen began to fight among themselves. And so obviously there was going to have to be a separation. And what does Abraham do? He shows that he's a pilgrim here. He said, Lot, you just choose. If you want to go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you want the left hand, I'll go to the right. You choose. And we know what Lot did. Lot looked at the property and he saw the land that was well watered. And out of a covetous heart, he chose the best of the land. And we know how he ended up too. We know that was a terrible mistake on Lot's part. When he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and then we read he's in the gate at Sodom, living there, and we read that he calls the Sodomites his brothers, and before long he's in a cave committing incest with his two daughters. A terrible choice. Abraham, he confessed by his actions, by his conduct, that he was a stranger and a pilgrim. Lot, you just choose. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. But these, Abraham, his wife Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, these all had what I want to call this one all-encompassing promise. All-encompassing promise. What is it? I will be your God. I will be your God. Now, if God gives you that promise, you don't need anything else. You can't want anything else. You can't need anything else. If God tells you, I will be your God, that means he's going to take care of you. Whatever your needs may be, he's going to supply those needs. Well, now the second part, these verses which speak of Abraham offering up Isaac in death, beginning in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Abraham offered up his son Isaac to death. Notice when he was tried. That means he was tested, doesn't it? The Lord tests his people. Tests our faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, the apostle said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire. Abraham was tried. He was tried in this threefold way. Number one, he was commanded to give up his well-beloved, his only begotten son. That is, his only son by Sarah, his wife. You know how it reads there in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. God spoke to Abraham and he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Take now thy son. This was the trial. Offer him up as a burnt offering. He was tried, first of all. Second, he was tried in the sense that he himself would be the one who offered him up. I mean, can you imagine having to give up your only begotten son to begin with, and then you be the means by which he is offered up? And yet that's what God told him to do. You offer him up as a burnt offering, Abraham. And he was tried, number three, in doing this, he would yield up the promises that were bound in his son, because God had promised him that it was in Isaac that his seed should be called. When you think about those three things and the way that Abraham was tried, and then think about them in relation to God, God, number one, God gave his only begotten son. And number two, God is the one who crucified his son. He's the one who said, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow." And God raised him from the dead, in whom all the promises are yea and amen. They're all given in Christ. What a test of Abraham's faith was this. And he showed his faith by his works, as James declared. I believe, and I think you will agree, that we see not only the faith of Abraham in offering up Isaac, but we see the faith of Isaac. The faith of Abraham was tested, as the scripture here says. But surely the faith of Isaac was tested as well. Most writers believe that Isaac was at least 30 years old. He was in his 30s. Abraham is over 100 years old, 120 years old maybe, 130 if Isaac was 30 years of age. He could have resisted, there's no question. He could have resisted. And yet, he was a type of Christ. And I believe he willingly lay upon that altar. His father Abraham bound him, but Isaac, I believe, willingly laid himself upon that altar by faith. And what a type, what a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went willingly to the cross. No one forced him or coerced him in giving himself. He willingly volunteered to give himself for his spouse, for his wife, whom he loved, his church. Abraham's faith allowed him to conclude that God's promise. Now, it was 3 days' journey. God gives him the command. The next day, he's up early in the morning, saddling the asses, and off they go. Got the wood for the burnt offering, and off they go. And 3 days' journey till they come to that mountain where God led him. What do you think was going through his mind over those 3 days? Did God change? Has God made null his promise? Certainly, one of the things that must have come into his mind, and he concluded, if God allows me to do this, he's going to raise him up. He cannot lie, and he told me that the blessing would come through Isaac. Isaac must be raised. I believe he had faith to believe that. And when the Lord stayed Abraham's hand, you know, you read about it there in chapter 22 of Genesis up on Mount Moriah. Now, the servants couldn't go up there with him. And what a picture we see of Isaac carrying the wood. Is that a picture of Christ carrying our sins up to the cross, carrying them away? Abraham had fire and a knife, and when Isaac was upon the altar, he raises up his hand, and God called him and stayed his hand. And he saw a ram caught in the thicket. And in that way, God taught both Abraham and Isaac this most important lesson about God's grace, and that is we are saved through another. Through a substitute, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, the third group of people, verses 20 through 22, One writer commented on these three verses like this. The three verses that follow may seem like something of an anticlimax after the drama on Mount Moriah, but life's inevitabilities outnumber life's dramas. One of those inevitable events is the onset of old age and approach to death. How does faith react to these things? How does faith react to these things? And we see all three of these men, no regrets as far as we are told. They're not sitting around reminiscing about past times and all of that, but they are looking past death at things that were sure to come, things that they knew were real to them. They had been promised these things, and they were ordained of God, and yes, they were going to experience them. First, we are told that Isaac blessed Jacob concerning things to come. There's Jacob. He had tricked his father Isaac the first time when Isaac blessed him, but now Isaac realizes that even this deceit on Jacob's part lay in the providence of God. And Jacob's name would be changed. He would no longer be called Jacob, conniver. He would be called Israel, a prince with God. Number two, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, laying his right hand, remember, upon the head of the younger, and his left hand upon the head of the older son of Joseph. And Joseph said, not so, not so. He thought his dad, and his dad was almost blind. He thought he didn't know what he was doing. Jacob knew exactly what he was doing. He was blessing Ephraim above his other son, leaving. And notice what it says here. When he did this, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, both of his sons. He blessed both of them, but he gave the greater blessing, the right hand blessing, to the younger. And when you read the tribes later in the book, as you go through numbers and see how they are numbered, the population, you will see that always the younger is a larger population among the tribe. Both tribes count. Joseph had a double portion, we realize that, but the younger son had the double blessing, and that tribe was always the largest, Ephraim. But notice it says here that when he blessed them, he was leaning upon the top of his staff. Much has been made about that. Jacob, finally, is brought to the place where he has no more power, no more ability to deceive and to change and make his plans. But no, now he is leaning upon his staff. And as he does, he blesses, he worships God. And then Joseph, by faith, gave commandment concerning his bones. He was a prime minister in Egypt, wasn't he? And all of his brothers had come down there, and all the family was there. But he knew that they would be there for a certain amount of time, and in God's providence, they would be delivered out of Egypt. They would be taken to that land of promise, that land that had been promised, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. When they left Egypt, Moses and those who left out of Egypt, they carried the bones of Joseph with them. Some people have defined faith as a leap in the dark, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Faith is believing God whose word cannot be broken. who has shown to us all that his trustworthiness in the fact that he has already given his only begotten Son. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is leaning upon God who cannot lie, believing him who has already showed his love in giving his only begotten Son. Well, I pray that the Lord would bless these words and these thoughts to us here this evening. God would increase our faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn, and then we will be dismissed.